We're going to pick up where we left off. This is our third week to the Secret of Hope series. The Secret of Hope series. We've been working our way through Romans 8. Today we'll be talking about Romans 8, 26 through 39. Now, we've kind of gone through a journey where we talked about the law, God's perfect law. We've talked about how our sin and selfishness makes us incapable of living up to that perfect law. But it's through God's Spirit that we're able to live into the spirit of that law. And then last week we learned about how the Spirit kind of moves and works inside of us, how it's always constant and present. For me, the best way to relate to that is through music. Music soothes the raging spirit. Music is one of those things that just touches us deep. It transports us to different times and places. And that's how the Spirit works. It's always constantly singing to us. It's like a song that never ends, and it has that power and so much more by reminding us and comforting us and encouraging us and guiding us. So I want to start today by reading Romans 8, 26 through 39, and then we're going to try to connect the dots to get to the secret of hope. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit Himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because He pleads for the saints consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and He decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of His Son. That way, His Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to His Son, He also called. Those who He called, He also made righteous. Those whom He made righteous, He also glorified. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Won't He also freely give us all things with Him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth, or anything in all creation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we started talking about the law and selfishness. Then we moved to the Spirit. And I've been trying to figure out how to connect all that to the secret of hope. And I'm not going to lie, it's been a struggle this week. So what I decided is I would just start by telling you a little bit about my story. For those of you who don't know, I was born and raised in Texas. I lived in Texas till I was about 16, then we moved to Mobile. All of those years I was born and raised in the church. I was baptized Episcopalian, but grew up in the Methodist church. And I went to church every day the doors were open. I did not have a choice. Until around the age of 18, I went to college at the University of Alabama. And I didn't have anybody waking me up on Sunday morning saying it's time to go to church. And I didn't have anybody on Wednesday saying you've got to go to youth. And so I didn't go. And I enjoyed that because it was like a break. And there's nothing wrong with a break. There's nothing wrong with taking a break from church every now and then. But the problem happened when that break became a routine. And from the age of 18 to 28, I now refer to those years as my running years. Because it was no longer a break, it was me running away from the church and from God. Because I didn't need that anymore. I didn't need that in my life. Because my life was going pretty good, because I had a lot of hopes and dreams of my own, and they were beginning to become realities. One of the things I wanted to do was to live at the beach. So I dropped out of college and moved to the beach. And then when I got to the beach, one of the things I wanted to do was to become a police officer. And for 3 years, I was a reserve, which means I rode along with police officers, did everything they did, I just didn't get paid. But it was just a foot in the door in order to become a police officer. And for 3 years, I hoped for nothing more than to become a police officer, and I did. And then, once I did, I didn't need anything else. Life was great. I had friends. I was 25 years old. I had a badge and a gun in a police town, and I could be and do whoever I wanted to be, and life was great. All my hopes had been met, or so I thought. Because one day, I was about 28 years old, I got in my truck, my personal truck, and I was riding around the back roads of South Baldwin County, and I became overwhelmed with this sense of loneliness, with this sense of brokenness, with this sense of defeated, with the sense of being condemned. Because I grew up in the church, I knew the law. I knew how I was supposed to be. I knew how to be a good person. And I thought for the most part, I was doing that. That's who I was trying to be while I was living the life that I wanted to live. But what I didn't realize is that I was living this selfish life that was in constant battle with the law, that kept me from fully understanding who I was supposed to be. And it all came crashing down while I was in my truck driving around these back roads, and I was crushed under this weight of hopelessness, of everything being lost, and me not knowing where to go next or where to turn or how to get out of this place. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where it came from. But I found myself calling out to God, saying, God, this is not who you made me to be. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And I need help. I need help. And it was brokenness at its worst. It was sheer despair. You ever felt that, just despair, where you are, you don't know where to turn? As it happens, about 2 weeks after this, I ended up meeting Jenny, who would later become my wife. as we began talking and as we began dating, I learned that her father was a Methodist preacher. And if I wanted to impress her and impress her father, then I felt like I needed to go to that church, right? And I did. And it was through that reconnecting to church, through that understanding that something bigger was happening, I began to experience a different kind of hope. I began to experience true hope. Because I had been living hopeful for the last 10 years while I was running away from God. I put my hope in all kinds of things. But that hope that I was placing myself into was not true hope. That was the kind of hope that we put into things that we don't necessarily know if they can happen or that we don't have any control over. It's kind of a worldly hope. It can be small or it can be big. It can be little things like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. It can be bigger things like, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope she likes me, or even I hope my team wins the championship. But it's still this hope that we have no connection to because it's a worldly hope and there's no foundation underneath that hope. And whether that hope comes true or not, it still fails. And it's still empty. What I began to learn as I got back into church is that the big secret to true hope is that it's not the same as the hope we use every day. It's not the same as the worldly hope that we try to cling to. True hope is not ours to take. It's not ours to give. It's not ours to find. True hope is something that the Spirit instills in us deep down inside. True hope is something that strengthens us, comforts us, and encourages us. When things seem to be falling apart, when we find ourselves in that darkest, most awful time of our lives, true hope is what reminds us that we have nothing to fear. The hope the world gives does nothing. The hope we cling to every day because we want this or we try to get that or we wish we had control over something falls short all of the time. But true hope is something totally different. True hope is something that reminds us that we have a Father that loves us. True hope is something that reminds us that He sent His Son to fulfill the law for us. True hope is something more. It's a light in the darkness. Now, there's a lot we can do to try to quester that light. There's a lot that happens to us that tries to put out that light. There's stuff that our bodies go through. There's stuff that our minds go through. There's stuff that the world dumps on us that makes us feel like we are surrounded in darkness. And with all its power, it tries to douse this light of true hope. It tries to put us in a place of despair. But true hope can never be doused. True hope doesn't come from us. We have no control over it. True hope comes only from the Spirit of God. True hope is powerful. So powerful that even in our deepest, darkest despair, there is still a spark that is deep down inside of us. As I was driving around in that truck, I truly felt like I was lost. I truly felt the farthest away from God I had ever felt. I truly felt like I had ruined everything. I didn't know if God would listen. I didn't know if God would hear. I didn't know if God wanted me to talk. But there was that spark deep down inside that said, this is what you need to do. There was that spark that no matter how much pain I was in, no matter where I thought I was, it was still groaning inside of me. It was still crying out inside of me. And I know that it was only because of that spark that I had the courage to be able to call out to God, to be able to recognize how broken I was and how far away I had gotten. And I think there's a lot of us that find ourselves in this place every day. We try to think that everything's going to be okay. I'll work my way out of it tomorrow. I'll be all right as soon as this comes through, as soon as that comes through, as soon as this works out. If I just make the right decision now, it'll be okay tomorrow. That's the hope that we cling to, but it's useless. Because something always goes wrong, and we find ourselves trapped in this pit where we don't think we can get out of. We don't think things can get any worse or any better. But it's this true hope that's inside of us that continues to groan. It continues to cry out. It continues to connect us. It continues to connect us to this Father. This Father that is so much bigger than anything we have ever known. Anything we could ever know. It connects us to this Father that has a love that is so immeasurably more than anything we understand. It's a spark that can't be doused by anything. It doesn't matter if it's harassment or despair or nakedness or dangers or swords or famines. This spark is always there, and it's always reaching out to that Father. It's always reaching out, trying to pull us back to that Father who loves us. If you want to know what the true hope really is, the big secret to hope, it's the fact that you are loved. That's it. That's the big secret. Hope really is the fact that you are loved, that we have a Father that loves you no matter what. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how far you ran away. You're still loved. You're still loved. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how much you've condemned yourself. It doesn't matter how selfish you've acted and how many of the laws you've broken. Because you're still loved. Because what he did in Jesus is he made us co-heirs and he made us sons and daughters. He made us sons and daughters and he made us loved. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter if you've ever been to church or not. It doesn't matter if you've ever even had a conversation with him. All that matters is that you're still loved. So that when you find yourself broken in this world of darkness and hate, and you find yourself in this place that you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know how I'm ever going to be fixed. This hope speaks to your soul and says it doesn't matter because you're already loved. It doesn't matter because you're already made a son or a daughter. It doesn't matter because I've already paid the price for you. It doesn't matter because I've already made you righteous. And all you have to do is to let that hope grow from inside. All you have to do is to let that spark turn into a flame. All you have to do is to quit clinging to the things in the world around you and to cling to the only thing that matters. To cling to the only thing that matters is that you are loved. And it's because you are loved that we had Jesus, and it's because of Jesus that it doesn't matter what goes on in the world, that nothing can separate us from God's love. I mean, that's what the scripture says. Nothing can separate us from Christ's love. Because of Jesus, not even death nor life, not even angels nor demons, not even present things or things to come, not even powers or height or depth, not even anything in creation can separate us from God's love. Nothing changes the fact that you are loved. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've gone through in your life, because you are still loved. And that's the secret to hope, a true hope that transforms who we are. It pulls us out of the deepest despair. It changes our lives. It changes our world. It overcomes anything we have put on ourselves. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter how rich, how poor, how pretty, how ugly. It doesn't matter how skinny or fat you are, because you are loved. You are loved. What does that mean? What does it mean to us? What does it mean when we walk out these doors and you don't just have a crying preacher on the stage pouring his heart out? What does it mean when you go back to your daily life tomorrow morning? What it means is you can let go. What it means is you don't have to fight the world around you that is trying to distract you and pull you away and cover up. What it means is that the hope you are given cannot be taken away, because the love God has for you cannot be taken away. It means when you fall and stumble and you find yourself skint up at the bottom of a pit, that you're still loved, and that hope allows you to pick yourself back up and keep moving in the right direction. What it means is when you go through those periods in your life where you are selfish and you are fighting against God, you're still loved. You're still loved. What it means is that hope has been placed inside of you already. And that all you have to do is quit looking for it in the world around you and listen to the Spirit inside of you who is singing that song over and over and over again. It's a song that sounds so simple and basic. It's a song that feels like it can't mean as much as it does. It's a song that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's the only verse that matters. The rest of it is just filler. Because the only thing that matters is that you know that you are loved. What is it that the world is screaming to you, trying to stop you from hearing that voice of hope that's inside of you? And if you're at a place where you already recognize that hope, then I praise God and say hallelujah. But what is it inside of you that's stopping you from sharing that hope with those around you? Because true hope doesn't just change who we are. It changes the world around us. It diminishes and destroys the power of the world around us. true hope that flows from within, that is that spark that never goes away. True hope, when we tap into that, changes the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have called us here this morning. Lord, we are so grateful that we have a place like this to gather together and to flame, to build those flames of hope that you've placed inside of us. But Lord, we recognize that when we walk out of these doors into the world around us, the world does everything it can to just douse that flame. But Lord, we praise you for the truth that that flame can never be doused, that there is nothing in all of creation that can ever separate your love from us. No matter what we think about ourselves, no matter what we think about those around us, Lord, we recognize that true hope comes from you, through your love, through the fact that we are your children and you claim us. Lord, we also recognize that we don't do the best job of living out of that hope. So, Lord, we pray as we go forward today that you would fan the flames of that hope inside of us, so much so that it glows outside of us. And most of all, Lord, we pray for eyes that will see those around us, not as the world sees them, but you do. That you might use us to be your voice, to speak words of love to those who have never heard them before. Lord, open our ears to your Spirit as you pour your love into us. In Jesus' name, amen.